Whew, okay, there's a lot. There's a lot on dude's brain right now. I'm going through some shit, some personal shit, dealing with shit from my past. I remembered more shit from my past. It's a lot of craziness swirling around in my head. This has been a pretty crazy year, but I'm kind of doing better than ever, kind of feeling better than ever, doing better than ever. Still having issues at work, getting annoyed by coworkers and customers, but it's going well. Still gainfully employed, still making money and saving money. So that's good. But I'm also dealing with the personal shit, which is kind of taking over right now, taking over my thinking. I'm a little freaked out right now. You can probably tell from my voice, but I can't talk about what's going on, what it is that I'm freaked out about. So maybe like 10 years in the future on the pod, I'll talk about it when I'm podcasting on Mars. Podcasting directly to you from Mars, the surface of Mars. So for those who don't know, my name is Maxwell Haddad, and you are listening to Video Nasties. Thank you for joining me. Thank you to those of you who have been listening to the new episode titled Asteroid City. I think it's a good one. The episodes covering newer movies tend to get the most listens, and Asteroid City has been popular, so not that I necessarily like to talk to you about the listens, but I'm happy about that one. So last night I watched a couple of movies. I was having some trouble sleeping. I'm out on a walk right now. I just need to kind of clear my head, walk around the block. Deep Blood, I believe, is the name of one of them. I'll pull up the description for you on Arrow. Okay, so Deep Blood is this kind of weird, boring, what have you, Jaws ripoff from 1990. It's Italian, directed by Joe D'Amato, which I completely forgot while I was watching it. So here is the description from the Arrow streaming app. In a career that forever raised the bar for everything from hookers, cannibals, and necrophiles to Ator, Emmanuel, and Caligula, this long unseen chum bucket from producer, director, Eurosleaze master Joe D'Amato may be his most bizarrely entertaining anomaly ever. Shot on location in Florida surf and Rome swimming pools, D'Amato combines 80s teen movie cliches and Native American mysticism, stupefying dialogue, over-the-top performances, and shark footage that Bruno Mattei would later swipe for Cruel Jaws to create what the horror calls a weird, demented experience that begs to be discovered and embraced. A cast of local unknowns, along with, inexplicably, the 60s comedy team of Charlie Brill and Mitzi McCall, star in this last word in Italian sharksploitation. And by the way, welcome to Cape Cod summer. It's summer here on the Cape. I'm at the Cape House. The tourists are here. It's hot. I'm loving this shit. And it also totally gets me in the mood for shark movies, which I love. And just Jaws ripoffs are what I love the most. And just things that are associated with Jaws remind me of Jaws. So, and Jaws itself, I would love to watch at some point. I need to get it on Blu-ray. So, yeah, so this is a Jaws ripoff. Prefer Orca. There's another one, Contiki or something like that. I heard Tarantino mention it once. I want to watch that. Speaking of Quentin Tarantino, Oh my gosh, sorry. I didn't get enough sleep last night. I worked almost a full day. And then when I got home, I had to deal with some other shit. So there's a lot. There's a lot happening right now, a lot of factors. But I do want to tell you see, I'm just like so kind of fucked up right now. I can't even think. Okay, yes, Quentin Tarantino interview from Cannes. Got it. So, Quentin Tarantino, when he presented Rolling Thunder at the Cannes Film Festival, he talked about the ending and how it was changed from Paul Schrader's original script. So, I finally watched it last night, the ending. I finally finished it. Now, of course, I was so fucking out of it and distracted by other things. I was having trouble concentrating. So, I didn't, like, fully enjoy it or appreciate it. It actually didn't even fully register with me. But I can see what Tarantino is saying. So, in the movie version, they go in, they shoot the guys, they kill the guys, they get the revenge. But it's not this kind of, like, insane bloodbath that it was in the script. So apparently, according to Tarantino, in the screenplay, not only do they kill the guys who killed his wife and son, so not only do they get their revenge, but they kill the customers, they kill the employees, they kill everyone in the bar. It's a massacre. So the fact that it was changed and the violence was a little bit toned down bothered Schrader. I think it would have been cool in the movie, but I also think it works in the movie. I mean, first of all, I don't know if they had the budget for like this big kind of elaborate bloody ending, but I also like that it's kind of, I don't know, kind of streamlined in the movie. Another Schrader change that really, I guess, bothered Schrader, maybe it didn't, but also, but actually ended up kind of being better in the film version, is what happened in Taxi Driver with the pimp character, Sport. So, in the script, he's black. Because at that time, in New York, in the 70s, it would be rare to find a white pimp. Most of the pimps were black at that time. Now, for the movie, I think the studio, and Tarantino talks about this, I think the studio got nervous about casting a black guy, frankly. So they wanted Harvey Keitel for the part of Sport. Now, it's hard to imagine, at least for me personally, it's hard to imagine Taxi Driver without Harvey Keitel, which is another thing that Tarantino says. I completely agree with him. So the fact that it was changed to a white character, I don't know, it just kind of works better, because Harvey Keitel, I mean, he isn't just good in the movie, he's part of the fabric of the movie. Like, it's not Taxi Driver without Harvey Keitel. So just to wrap up, when I'm trying to sleep at night, especially if I'm having trouble sleeping, I usually put on a quote-unquote old movie, and that usually, I don't know, there's just something dreamlike about just the black and white, and it's just, like, so removed from current day that it just, like, it's like watching another world, and it just, I don't know, it's like this fantasy that I just can kind of drift off to. Like, it's not like I'm going to put on, I don't know, Fruitvale Station. So I don't know, it's a weird example, but like a new movie that's like kind of gritty and realistic. It's like, no, I want none of that. I want to just be immersed in a fantasy. So movie from the 30s, I mean, we're talking almost 100 years ago. It really is a different world. And they function as documents of that time, but I think they still function as movies if they're good, if they're well made. And you know, the accoutrement, the aesthetic, the ambiance, that can really lull me into this feeling of fantasy and this sensation of fantasy, this idea of fantasy. And but a lot of these movies do still work as movies, and a lot of them are even still funny. I have this thing where I just love screwball comedies from the 30s and 40s. And I did sign up for Criterion for the month, so I have I have their collection of screwball comedies at my fingertips. The one I watched last night, I don't even remember the name of it, but I watched the whole fucking movie. I was still up. Had to be up at 6 this morning. I was still up at midnight. Yeah, had a little bit of a rough day, but I did my best. I kept it together. I didn't snap at anybody. Wasn't mean. Wasn't a dick. Didn't get into any fights. So, it was a terrible day, all things considered, but it could have been worse, and it was fine up until a point, but I can't get into that. So, I do want to see what this movie was called. I'm going to check that title. I know this episode is kind of like, broken and maybe a little disjointed, but I'm walking, I'm freaked out, I got a lot on my mind. I'm kind of like coming down, actually, from smoking pot. I was kind of, I was totally, I was teetotal for a while. I was totally SLP, sober living pal, for a while, except for the medication that I was taking. Now I'm still taking the medication. I was smoking cigarettes a little bit, drinking beer a little bit, went through like a little wine phase. But, yeah, now I'm off all that shit. And, the only thing I'm doing now is I'm still smoking a little pot, but even that I might cut out or drastically cut down on. So I'm back to the only thing I'm doing is taking my medication. I'm finally properly medicated and probably medicated for the first time in my life. And I'll keep taking this medication and I hope it keeps helping. So how did I get off on that? I have no fucking idea. But, yeah. It's called Singin' Like It, and here is the description from the Criterion streaming app. And, by the way, this is part of their Screwball Comedy Classics collection. Singin' Like It, directed by William A. Sider, from 1934, starring Zazu Pitts, Pert Kelton, and Edward Everett Horton. Some of the most beloved character actors of the 1930s, including Zazu Pitts, Edward Everett Horton, and Ned Sparks, get a chance to shine in this almost surreally absurd pre-code gem from underrated comedy craftsman William A. Sider. Annie Snodgrass Pitts has an awful singing voice, but love-struck gangster boss Fenny, Nat Pendleton, is so entranced by her rendition of a sentimental song about a mother's love that he uses whatever means necessary, including pulling a gun on a critic, to force the public to accept her as a musical star. Can Annie's eardrum-shattering warblings conquer Broadway? So Zazu Pitts is really the standout here, if she's the one I'm thinking of. She has this kind of like interesting look, almost like a silent movie actress look, and her eyebrows are like very arched and very carefully trimmed, almost freakishly so. One last thing that I wanted to mention and forgot to is that I've been itching to get back on the kit. That's right, folks. I've been thinking about drums again and drumming. I want to get a small little like three-piece, nice ride cymbal kind of jazz kit. I kind of want to do that and like get back to playing some real drums. I think it started with the fourth wave ska stuff or the ska punk revival. I recorded a fourth wave ska track called Root on the Moon. You can still hear it on SoundCloud. And I don't know, maybe that just got me thinking about it. I just feel like playing drums again. I think it would help me get some of my anger, aggression out. Help me to feel right in my body and just help to get some shit out of me, out of my head and out of my body. And it's also just another way to be creative, and it's just something that I've always been good at. I'm just a naturally good drummer. I just have an ear for music, so thinking about getting a kit. It's in my blood. Drums are in my blood. Drumming is in my blood. My father is a drummer and he passed it down to me. I've always been a drummer. I was born into it. I've been at a drum kit since I was a little baby, holding drumsticks, playing. It just comes naturally to me. There was a time when I was one of the best drummers in my age group where I was living. At this point, I haven't been on a drum kit in probably years. At least not a real drum kit. I've been using the dreaded term drum machines, or I've been using a drum machine. I've been using, you know, what they have on GarageBand, the different kits. That's what I've been using to make music when I've been making it, which hasn't been much recently. But as I said, I'm itching to get back on a real kit.
This has been a production of Reptilian.